May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Portrait of a disciple, people who reject lies, from the Old Testament lesson for today from Jeremiah. I start this message this morning with a simple question. Do you think there are false teachers, false prophets who claim to be true Christians? What do you think? I agree. I think it's an easy question to answer. If we are to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we must be alert to them and not be seduced or tricked by them. There's a terrible and dangerous thought out there that God doesn't care what you believe as long as you're just sincere. Jesus would not endorse this idea. He tells us to watch out for the false prophets who come in sheep's clothing but are actually ferocious wolves. Of the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, Jesus calls them hypocrites, blind guides, and even a band of vipers, snakes. In our scripture for today, the prophet Jeremiah describes how these false prophets operate and hints at their motivations. This word of God is so vital for today. In many churches, you hear nothing about the wrath of God. But it's not a secondary theme in the scriptures. And God's wrath and indignation falls heavily upon those who twist the word of God and exploit people out of their own greed and lust. A genuine disciple should first tremble at God's word as it indicts them for their sins. And only when the law provokes a fear of God in us can the gospel truly comfort us in Christ's mercy and grace. Well, there are three great lies that the false prophets of our day peddle. Their ancestors go right back to Jeremiah. And if believed and followed, would make it impossible for you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first great lie is actually, in fact, the basis for every false religion upon the face of the earth and false Christianity. And that is the religion of human merit, of good works, that we are saved by our good deeds. This teaching, which enslaves billions, states simply that we must please God and that we can please God just by our mere goodness. It is what we must do to be at peace with God to be saved, saved according to our good works, say these teachers. Biblical Christianity, on the other hand, says that we are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, that it's a divine accomplishment. These false teachers say, do this, do that. The true faith says, it's done. It's finished. It was finished on the cross of Jesus and his resurrection. The prophets of these lies are hypocrites. They can't keep the law or be good enough themselves. So what do? They hide their sins. And on top of that, they lay burdens on people that they themselves have not been able to live up to. Law upon law. And if you think about it, they nullify everything that Jesus did for us. If we could have obtained peace with God through our own good works, through our own merits, then why would Jesus have had to come? They dishonor him. Following this lie of the false teachers It will make a person smug, self-righteous, unable to see their own sins, deceptive, phony, lost. Or it will make them fearful, enslaved, ever striving to obey the law and realizing that they fall short. There was a church in Alabama that I was very familiar with because it was very close to my home. And the pastor ruled like a dictator. He had law upon law. As it was very works righteous church. And I remember what it did to the people that went there, because we had a neighbor who really loved that church but was bullied by that pastor. And it, well, she just couldn't see it. Enslaved. One of the rules they had a school there. And they made up all kinds of laws. For instance, how women could bring, in what kind of apparel could women bring children to the school? If they didn't have a skirt that went about here, they were not allowed to drop off their children. In fact, they were told to go home and look decent. Now, that may be a good thing to do, but it's not part of God's word. And the idea here is, if you didn't follow his rules and his traditions on top of all the commandments, and he was supposed to be so holy, then you were lost. And they spoke that way. This is the first lie. It's a great one. But two others are to follow. The second great lie is what is known as the wealth and health gospel, or simply the prosperity gospel. Have you heard of it? Many of you have. They preach that God wants you to be materially rich and absolutely healthy, and you will be if you have enough faith. The reason people are sick and poor is they simply do not have the right kind of faith. The driving passion of these false prophets is their own lust. They lust for money and power. Their lies suggest that you can coerce, cajole, manipulate, control, and even exploit God to obtain what you want. Their appeal is to our base nature, to our desires, to our love for money, love for pleasure, and love for good health. Things we all would enjoy having. They're so slick. They twist this word of God. They twist it. They use the words of Scripture and take the meanings and turn them all around. Indeed, they use the word dream and faith in ways the Scripture never uses them. If you read the Bible in its simplest and clearest meaning, you can detect their errors immediately. Let me give you an example of the way they operate and how they distort God's word. This is from a book from John MacArthur, but I've read others like this and in person seen some of these operators. He refers to a prosperity gospel teacher named Norval Hayes, who says it is better to talk to your checkbook, to your disease, or whatever predicament you're in, rather than taking it to prayer to God. Here's what he says. You aren't supposed to talk to Jesus about it. You're supposed to talk directly to the mountain in Jesus' name, whatever that mountain happens to be in your life. Stop talking to Jesus about it. Stop talking to anybody else about it. Speak to the mountain itself in Jesus' name. Don't say, oh God, help me, remove this sickness from me. Say, flu, I am not going to let you come into my body. Go from me in the name of Jesus. Nose, I tell you to stop running. Yes. Cough, I tell you to leave in Jesus' name. Say, cancer, You can't kill me. I will never die of cancer in Jesus' name. Do you have a financial mountain in your life? Start talking to your money. Tell your checkbook to line up with God's word. Talk to your business. Command customers to come into your business and spend their money there. Talk to the mountain. Whew. I hope you can see. It's very tempting. It's so terribly wrong. It's wrong. And it dishonors God. Maybe some of you, probably not many of you, but have heard of Robert Tilton. Anybody besides me, Robert Tilton? Okay, Robert Tilton has an interesting appeal. He's a prosperity teacher. And he says this, send me $1,000 as seed money to show your faith. And if you send me $1,000, it's like putting a seed in the ground and watch how your prosperity grows. Well, I got a letter from him. I didn't send him $1,000. I thought about sending him a check for a penny just to see him stamp it, you know, and get it back. You know. Wow, what a twisting of God's word. It's interesting, I had a children's sermon here, and children, 5 and under, I asked them, do you know what a lie is? They all knew what a lie was. I asked them, do you think people lie about the Bible? And they said, yes. And I said, what do you think God thinks about that? And one of the children said, he's got steam coming out of his ears. And for those of you who want to congratulate that child, it was Abby Callies. She's the one that said that. And I said, Abby, you are so right. I need to warn you, in love, to follow these teachings will steal you away from Jesus and being his disciple. It will blind you of your own sins, and it will deceive you. Third great lie that's being peddled today, and the one that I believe has taken the forefront in our culture and will lead you away from Jesus. And the lie is this. It calls evil good and good evil. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. He repeats this over and over and over again. If you're my disciple, you will love my commandments. He affirms the Ten Commandments. Now, we're not saved by our good works, but good works flow out of a disciple who has been saved by Jesus, the Jesus who went to the cross for our sins. And out of gratitude, we strive to be good. Now, let me give you an example of this lie in action. It's a very recent thing that happened. It has to do with the Reverend John Papworth. He's an Anglican priest in North London, England, who was quoted in the newspaper saying it is morally justifiable to steal from large supermarkets because these stores are putting smaller ones out of business. Morally justifiable to steal. I imagine if he was here in the United States, he would say, go to Walmart and take all you can, right? Wow, what spiritual advice from a man who's supposed to uphold the Word of God. The promoters of practicing homosexuality have taken what God has called a sin and turned it into a virtue. An act of love. Show me one place in the Word of God where practicing homosexuality, instead of resisting it as the temptation it may be, is considered a good thing, approved by God. You're not going to find that. Not one place will you find it. And yet, it's preached in many churches today that practicing homosexuality is what God intended for you to do. A shame. It's a shame. The false prophets and their ungodly interpretations of God's word have actually shredded it. Shredded it. It's out of love that I speak this way, and many Christians with me. We don't want to see any people who follow these lies to keep following them. We want them to turn and be saved. I have to ask, why have these false prophets done this? Why have the false prophets and errant pastors multiplied? Why are there so many of them now? I think it's for the same reasons that existed in Jeremiah's day and Jesus' day right up to the present. To be popular. To gratify their own desires. To justify themselves. Why don't they tremble at God's word? Don't they know that God will hold them accountable for leading people away from Jesus? Whatever the world loves at the moment, these false prophets flock to. They love the praise of men rather than the praise of God, to whom belong all glory and honor and praise. Please beware of them and help people come out of their spell, because they do cast a spell. It's a spell of delusion. Now, there are two things you can do. Know the truth, number one. Know the truth. I beg you, read the New Testament. I plead with you, read the New Testament. And don't put it off. Read the New Testament. Know the Word of God so you can detect the poisonous counterfeits that are all around us. If you know what God's Word says, you can tell if I'm speaking the truth. And you can hold me accountable, Pastor Mark, or any preacher that stands up here, to give you what we believe to be the truth and is the truth. Start with the New Testament. Start with the New Testament. But I have to inject, if you're the average reader, it would take you 12 minutes a day to read through the whole Bible. Now, if you're a slow reader, it will take you 24 minutes a day. But you can do it, is what I'm saying. It's not that impossible. The New Testament is not that large a book. Not that large a book. And I would say, please start there. The Word of God can take a simple mind with no discernment and make you skilled in all of the issues of life. All of them. Number two. Number one, know the truth. Number two, commit yourself. You know Jesus Christ saved you when he died on the cross for your sin. Now declare your loyalty. I will follow Jesus. And then don't just say it with your mouth. Act on it. Act on it. Follow Jesus by obeying his commands. When you sin, quickly repent, seek his forgiveness rather than justifying and excusing yourself. Everyone sins. Everyone needs to repent. Walk away from the false prophets. Don't read their material. Walk out of their churches. Protect your family, especially your children. Jesus says, come away. You know, I asked the children again, what should we do? Children now, mind you. What should we do about pastors or churches that are telling the wrong things about God's word? And again, one of them says, come away. Just like that, with a serious look, come away. That's right. They get it. This does conclude our series on a portrait of a disciple. And what have we learned? I think there was good messages here. A disciple is one who goes at Jesus' direction, go and make disciples of all the nations. A disciple is one who knows that their neighbor is anyone who is in need. A disciple is one who listens to God's word. A disciple is one who prays. A disciple, one who recognizes the true treasure and who trusts. And a disciple, we must add, clearly rejects the lies and distortions of his word. My prayer for you is that in every case, you desire and seek to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, that you do all these things, and today that you reject the lies and teachings of false prophets. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen.
Amen.
Amen.